And I quoted the Joni Mitchell song about I've looked at clouds from both sides now, which Phyllis recognized, right?
Yeah.
You got the quote there. David has no idea what I'm talking about because this is a 1960s folk
What?
song.
I know Joni Mitchell. She's the Circle Game, right? Isn't that Joni Mitchell?
I don't know.
I'm not going to sing on recorded video.
Okay.
Like
But
the
yeah.
seasons, they go round and round and the painted
Yes,
pony.
that's her.
Is that her?
I
Okay.
love Joni Mitchell.
Oh, okay. So you should go ahead and look at both sides now. Okay.
Okay.
Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air. Look at clouds that way. Now they only block the sun, they rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done with clouds going away. Look at clouds from both sides now. Up and down. Still somehow it's clouds illusions, I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. And she goes on about love and life as well. But this is gonna be about clouds. We're gonna talk about Sukkot and the Anan HaKavod. I'm gonna look at clouds from a couple of sides. So it starts this week, and we know why we move into tabernacles. And I just want to point out that I love the word tabernacle. It just sounds so great. Just gonna say it over again: tabernacle, 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 tabernacle. It's pretty fun. But okay, why do we move into our tabernacles? Because the pasuk says, "Basukot teshuvu shivat yamim." You will live in these tabernacles for 7 days. Kol Ezrach b'Yisrael yeshuv basukot. Every native Israeli has to should dwell in their Sukkot. L'man yedu d'orotechem, so that your generation should know. Ki basukot hashavti b'nei Yisrael. I brought b'nei Yisrael out. I in Sukkot, Yisrael, when I took them out of Egypt, and Yeshua, I am the Lord.
Okay, but this is what
I'm
you were
the Lord
learning.
God. About Sukkot, very good.
No, about the two different things. Also, we were
Ah.
on mute, but I just want you to know you got a really good laugh out of Eliyahu when you said tabernacle so many times.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, I like that name. Can you say tabernacles, tabernacles, tabernacles? It's such a good word. Okay, so then you can say Sukkot, but in English you can call them tabernacles. Okay, and what Aviva knows is that the Gemara says about this, that the Tanya, what does that mean? Ki basukot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael, because I brought b'nei Yisrael out in Sukkot. Ananei kavod hayu, d'Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that that represents the ananei kavod, the clouds of glory. Whatever that means. We brought b'nei Yisrael out with these clouds. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Sukkot mamasha sulehem. No, it's talking about remembering the actual Sukkot, the actual tents that the Bnei Yisrael lived in while they left Mitzrayim. And the tour goes into great detail discussing the reason of mitzvah. So this is a tour. Talakatuv mitzvah Sukkot b'tzi Mitzrayim. This pasuk ties this mitzvah Sukkot b'tzi Mitzrayim, right? Keep us Sukkot b'nei Yisrael. Those here time answers triumph. The fishahia davar shira'inu be'enenu was neno shamanu. Because this is something that we experienced. We saw it with our own eyes. We heard it with our own ears. What happened? Adam yachol. No one can deny it. Mara amitit yitale. And the fact that we survived in the wilderness in the Sukkot is proof of God's existence. Kasher sa imana botziano time answers triumph. Just as God brought us out. You have Egypt, Baal Torah, Maftim, these signs and wonders. But Sukkot, she'amar katuv, she'ashivenu b'hem. And these Sukkot that Hashem brought us out in, him anei kavod. These are the clouds of glory, the manifestation of Hashem in the world. She'kifan b'hem, that was surrounded the people. Leval yakeh b'hem sharav, b'shemesh, that the heat wouldn't bother them and the sun wouldn't bother them. Dugma lazeh, and as a symbol of that, Sivana Lasot Sukkot. That we're commanded to build these Sukkot. So we should remember God's wonders.
David Foreman
Cool.
has, Rabbi Foreman has a
Yeah.
whole thing that Sukkot is the place where they
Ah,
stop.
Rabbi Shulman mentioned that as a possibility.
Yeah, he has a
As
whole
we asked, because Sukkot
thing
was
on it.
the staging area
Yeah.
as well, and what that means. Clearly, the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, we entering Sukkot because Sukkot are Anane Kavod, which is unusual because he's passing in Agada. Right? It's an Agadic argument, and Torah is bringing down Lo Halacha in the Orach HaYam that this is the answer. Right? We know we don't want to find a Neshalei to decide in Nagara, right? We have this argument about it. When both Elu ve'Elu divrei b'chayim, we talk about both of them. We can offer different suggestions of what happens.
Why is it considered a gade?
Oh, because it's said, right? There's no halakhic consequence to whether the sukkah is anei kavod or sukkot mamash.
See, because it's not halakhic, therefore it's a gade, even though it's not, to me, it doesn't seem like an extraneous story. We talk
to
about
me, that's the word agada to me means non-halakhic material.
Okay.
That's
but
just
it's in the Torah that they were in Ananei Kavod, right?
Well, we're talking about where the Ananei Kavod come from.
Okay.
Okay. We have lots of Hashem Nira Ba'anan, right? We have this, Hashem appears a lot. We're going to talk about Ananei Kavod. My point is, though, that he seems to be passing what the answer is. Like, this is a guy. This is not a halachic question. Why put in the Torah? So the Bach on that as commenting by Chadash Circus, who would Yoel Circus, who would be.
You have a typo if you want to correct it.
Where is
it? Is the tour is.
Oh, you're right. Let's see if I can. Thank you.
Good.
Yep. Thank you. It's one of those optical illusions that you can never find the double letters or the double words in this test. Okay, so the Bach commenting on the Torah tries to explain why does the Torah mention this in a halakhic word?
What does that mean, paskening and agada? What does that mean?
To paskin, to be making being a psak halakha.
But what do you mean paskening
agada? He is deciding. He is telling you the correct answer in this agada question of, you know, do we consider the b'sukkot ha'shabti as b'sukkot mamash or anei kavod? The Torah says the answer is Rabbi Elazar is right, Rabbi Kiva is wrong.
Oh. So he's
deciding, right? He's deciding this as in a halakhic text. He's saying this is the correct agada, opposed to that, which is not something that you do with agada, right? We say both of them have something to teach us. So the Bach says about this that actually this is a halakhic decision. We need to look closely at the words of our rabbi of the Torah. That he usually doesn't in this composition. It doesn't explain the meaning of a pasuk. You know, keep us to go to he just lists the halacha. Because he's coming to paskin, right? Lipsok, the law. Oh, the harat minhag, or to tell us this is the minhag, this is the way we do things. Now he goes on this whole paragraph to explain the drosh hamikra b'sukkot teshev. He's going to explain what b'sukkot teshev means. So that it seems to me, so sober the kaven de kativ leman yedu. The pasuk ends, right? That you should sit in sukkot leman yedu dorotechev. Lokim et hamitzvah k'tikuna. That means that part of the mitzvah is to know, is to think about what the reason for this sukkot are. And you're not doing it right. That you should know what the meaning of a sukkah is. That's what he's explaining. The idea is to remember Yetziyat Mitzrayim, and he's saying that your part of your mitzvah in sitting in the sukkah is to think of yourself as being surrounded by the Ananei Kavod. It's kind of like Pesach. You should feel that you're part. It's experiential. You should feel the presence of Hashem protecting us. You should be thinking about
that. But it says Yetziat Mitzrayim, which you could also fulfill by thinking about the huts they lived in.
You can. So saying what he's saying is that the Torah is saying that this is the correct way to be thinking. That you should be thinking about the Ananei Kavod.
Oh, you should be thinking about the Ananei
Kavod. Right.
Yeah, okay.
That is the way to fulfill the mitzvah, in it, ideally, is that part of your kavana should be, okay, the Ananei Kavod are surrounding me right now. Okay? And so the Gro explains that this idea that we should be feeling the Ananei Kavod is why Sukkot is in Tishrei. Famous question. If it's to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, why don't we celebrate Sukkot and Pesach?
Mm-hmm.
Right, why don't we just eat us? Make a sukkah and eat our matzah in the sukkah, and that, what's the tishrei? So that's the gra. Sukkah b'tishrei. Kiven shuhu neged hekef anei kavod, because it's talking about being surrounded by the anei kavod. Right? We should have started in Nisan. We need to say Tefillah Tekefah Anim because the Anim, the Yitzhak Mitzrayim was all started in Nisan. Lenira, it seems to me. Asu eta ego. So when Bnei Yisrael made the ego Zah, made the golden calf, Niskalko Ananim, they lost that Anei Kavod. They lost that the Shekhinah. They lost the presence of God. Presence of God. Vazlo Chazru, Adshet Hidchilu Lasot HaMishkan, and didn't come back until they started building the Mishkan. Hashem said, I've forgiven you. Here, you now go build this Mishkan, and the Shekhinah will dwell in it. So he says, you know, as soon as they started building the Mishkan, after that, in that second year, after the Chedah Egel, Moshe comes down on Yom Kippur and says, you've been forgiven. That's when the Adonai Kavod came back. Moshe Yirad B'Yom Kippurim, right? He comes down with the second Luchon Yom Kippurim, Macharat Yom Kippurim, Vakel Moshe, then the next day, he starts telling them, we're going to build this Mishkan, Yitzvah Mechad Mishkan, B'Zeya, B'Yud Alef Tishrei, so that's the 10th day, the 11th day of Tishrei, that's today, right? They're told about the mitzvah of the Mishkan, the Tiva Amaviyah, Odi Dababa, Boker Boker, and they brought stuff for 2 days. That should be a mem there. Shnei Yamim. I got it here. So the 2 days of gathering stuff. Hare Yugim of Tishrei. Yuddao Tishrei Nadlukol Chacham Lev. Moshe Ta Zahav. And then on the 14th day of Tishrei, they gathered together. Mishal and Mishkal. V'tetvav Hitchil Asot. So on the 15th day of Tishrei is when they started building the Mishkan. So says the Gra, but Az Chazru Anei Kavod, and that's when Hashem said the Anei Kavod came back. So we
building the sukkah is like time to the building of the Mishkan.
That's what exactly we're saying.
That's exactly what the
Gra is saying. That the timing of sukkah is when they started putting together the Mishkan, and that's when the Anei Kavod came back. We're not celebrating the Anei Kavod of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We're celebrating the Anei Kavod of the return after the Egel Zahav.
But that's not what he said earlier. The first guy, he said Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
These are it's Zecher for the Anei Kavod of the Mishkan, not Zecher for the Anei Kavod of Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Well, that's right. They're different Anei Kavod. So that's what I'm talking about. What does Anei Kavod mean here? And where are they going? So technically he's right. The Gra is saying that it's not so much Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but it's the protection and the return of the Shekhinah in the wilderness that you're looking at. So you keep asking about, Davida just pointed out, like, what Anei Kavod are we talking about here? So we have to do it correctly. We have our tabernacles, which remember the Anei Kavod that was in the Mishkan, and why have a holiday in their honor? So where did they come from? Where do we see it? The first time we see this cloud as a sign of Hashem's presence was not at Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but right before Kriyat Yamsuf, as they're leaving. Specifically, as they're leaving Sukkot, which I'm sure goes into Rabbi Foreman's comment. Hashem halach lifnehem yomam, bamud anan, that Hashem went before them in it with a pillar of cloud, lanchom tam aderech, to show them the way, laila bamud ish, and at night, the pillar of fire, La'ir Lahem, to provide light for them, Alecha Yom Avalayah, so they can go both day and night. L'yamish Amud Hanan Yomam, Bamura Esh Laila Fnei Am, and the cloud, and the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of fire never left the people. They were there. So that sounds pretty straightforward. The cloud never left. But the Vilna Gaon, Same Vilna Gaon, who previously said that the Anei Kavod left at the Egel, says, well, when after the Egel, when Moshe prays for forgiveness, implies something different. Hashem tells him the following. I am going to seal a brit, I treat a covenant with you. In front of all the people, I will do wonders that were never created before among all the other nations in the whole world. And this nation that you're among them, they will see at Masay Hashem, they'll see the work of God, Kinarahu, because it is awesome. Hashem Niyosemach, that I'm going to do. So, what are these Nefla'ot? And he quotes a number of sources, which I want to get into. He says that the Nefla'ot were the appearance of the Anan. Right, that I will do these wonders that I've never seen before. That the Anan will come to the Mishkan. And Hashem's presence, but Hashem would dwell among them, in the sight of everyone. And it will go before them, and everyone will see this. That when they finally build the Mishkan, it says, the glory of God filled the Mishkan, because the cloud was upon the Mishkan. That's the Anan. Even though they had an Anan going before them, that said before, Lo Yamish Anud Hanan, Lo Hiya Ela Shato Al Yam. That only lasted till Kriya Yamsu. At Kriya Yamsu, the Anan left. And another thing about that, not everyone can see this enough. This is not a physical cloud. This sense of the Shekhinah was there, that only you had to be sort of spiritual level to be able to perceive it. Only someone who's at the level of Bianavi. Masha'en Ken Khan said this, Hashem promises that at this point, when the Mishkan is built, the Anan will be experienced by everyone.
But it says Rakol Ha'am.
Over here. Right? Rakol Ha'am. That's his point. That this is talking about when they build the Mishkan.
Oh, this is the Mishkan.
The original one.
Oh.
This vision at Kriyam Suf, this is going to be much greater. Moshe is promising that this will be greater. This will, every one of the people will be able to experience it. Not necessarily in front of the whole camp, but it'll be localized to the Mishkan, but everyone can go there and experience this Anan. We have two Vilna Gaons that contradict each other. When he says,
the one that says Yomam V'Layla, that was
We haven't gotten to that one yet. The one that says that the Vilna Gaon says that the Anan lasted till Kriya Yamsuf. It was Lo El Shato Al Hayam. That was really localized. And the other one said it was with them until Cheta Ego, and they lost it. And worse than that, there's another contradiction from a statement in Nehemiah. Now we read the beginning of this in Sugya Zimra as the introduction to Shirat Hayam. Hayam b'katzav lehem. This is Nehemiah praying to Hashem, going through all Jewish history from Nehemiah Parakdet. And you split the sea before them, and they went on the dry land, on the sea, and you cast their pursuers into the depths like a rock. Right, that's as far as we read in davening. And you led them with a pillar of cloud during the day. And a pillar of fire at night to show them the way to go. Even when they made this golden calf, Amru Zelo Hecha, Asher Lichem Mitzrayim, and they said, this is your God who took you out of Egypt. And they did these terrible, disgraceful things. But you, in talking to God, in your great mercy, you didn't abandon them in the wilderness. And you did not remove the pillar of cloud to guide them. And they did not, and the pillar of fire to illuminate the night for them. The derech asher yichubah, to show them the way. Nehemiah is explicitly saying that the Amud Anan did not leave after Cheta Ego. So there are three possibilities. They lost the clouds at Yam Suf. They lost them at the golden calf. Or they didn't lose them at all. And of course, in any shir, the answer to any or question is, yes. Okay. Did they lose it at Yam Suf, or did they lose it at Golden Calf? Did they not lose them at all? The answer is yes. So Yeruchim, this all comes from the Sefer Yerach Mula Moadim from Yeruchim Olshan, is Rosh Hashiva at in Lakewood. That's a big, huge books for all the Moadim. So that's the answer. The answer is yes, because there are lots of different ananim that represented different things. Which I think was Davida's point. And specifically, there are seven ananim mentioned, because it's mentioned anan seven times. Okay, so we're actually dividing into three classes. I'm not going to go through all seven there, but I'm sure you could. Seven's a good number that has lots of parallels. So this is Rashi. Shiva ananim ketuvim masehem. It mentions the anan, and then here in Parsha Balotcha seven times. And because he said there's seven different ananim, arba me'arbat ruchot. There are four at the four directions: north, south, east, west. Echad lamala, one on top. Echad lamata, one below. Echad lifnehem, and one that went before them. Minamech et hagavoa, rakbiat hanamuch, that would lower the mountains and raise up the valleys so they could go straight. Horeg nechashim akarvim, protect them from the snakes and scorpions. Those are the seven.
That's the directions of the lulav.
Yes, very much so. And people make that connection as well.
They make that connection to the ananim?
Yes, the directions are the four directions and up and down. But this has a seventh one also that's in front. So understanding how we go from there to understanding what these various ananim are and what we're supposed to be thinking about in Sukkot, he goes in a completely different direction and talks like to the Ketav Kabbalah, different question, which is, if this Sukkot represent the Anani Kavod, why is there no floor? You got four walls, that's the mitzvah sukkah, a roof made out of schach. Shouldn't there be, right? It's arba me'arba ruchot, v'chad lamala v'chad lamata. Why do we have a floor in the sukkah? Or why is there no requirement for a floor?
Like what it should be made out of?
Right, that should be part of the halacha. If we're talking about being surrounded on six sides, right, four sides, top and bottom, we have all these halakha about walls. We have all these halakha about roof. Lots of them, right? I mean, Jews love these details, right? No one has said anything about what the floor should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not there. So this is the Ketav Kabbalah. Ketav Aram is from Mizrahi and the commentary on Rashi. So I don't understand. I can understand when we say there's like anan to the north and to the south, to the east, to the west, on top of them, but I don't understand what melamata means. They're going to say, okay, there's one that was under their feet. And because if that's what we're looking at, then the laws of sukkah should include all six of those directions. The way we understand it. We already said that's what this sukkah symbolizes, the ananei kavod. The idea that they're surrounded, why not have halachot about what is underneath them? Right? Mamata, mamala, dal rukhote. Ketav Kabbalah says that we are misinterpreting echad lamata. So if we look at the parallel to the Sifri that Rashi is quoting here in the Yalkut Shimoni, it says that the Anan covered the Mishkan, the Olmoed. Zechad me'anei kavod. That on the Mishkan was one of the anei kavod. Sheshim Shu Yisrael, Bamidbar, Arbaim Shana, that protected Bnei Yisrael for 40 years. Echad Biminam, there was one on their right, Echad Bismolam, one on the left, Echad Mithnehem, one in front of them, Echad Machrayhem, one behind them, Echad Lamala Mehem, one on top, Banan Shechina Benehem. And the Shechina was in among them. Mamud Anan Noseo Tehem, and one a pillar that was in front of them. That would lower the hills, that would raise the valleys, kill the snakes and scorpions. That would burn out the thorns, Majachim Baderach Yashar would lead them in a straight way. So that's the Yalkut. Notice the difference. Instead of Echad Lamata, it says the Echad Banan Shechina Beneham. Okay? And then Banan Shechina Shura Ba'Oel. And then when the Oel was bit, that's where the Shechina was, that sense of the presence of God. Uvar Bazes, Kabbalah continues, Ki Echad Milamata She'amar Basifri. It says one under them, underneath. It doesn't mean underneath the people. It means underneath the one on top.
Oh.
Is what they were actually in. It's one on top of them and one below that. So that represents. That's the space of the sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're sitting in is the anana shechina, the space between the walls. That's that sixth anan. So Rabbi Elchin goes from there and says, we know obviously that the Sifrei is saying that the anani kavod represent multiple things. Because we really have different levels of experience of, I'd say, the manifestation of the divine. That's my words. He's saying this in Hebrew. Right? And of course, the Anei Kavod are not physical things. As the Gra said, it was only visible to the Nevi'im at one point, that they had to be given the ability to see them. That was, we feel Hashem in three different ways. There's the Anei Shekhinah, the awareness of Hashem's presence. We're in the presence of the holiest. Rav Ada calls the numinous. I've used that word before. That sense of awe. So Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Jews felt that. And they kept that through Kriyat Yamsut. Right? It says that Keli, with Zekeli Vaveo and Shirat Hayam, Zebichvoda Nigla Aleihem. Hashem's glory was revealed to them, Marin Otoba Ezra. They could point to it. Rata Shivcha Yam Mashallah Ro Nevi'im. That the lowliest maidservant saw more than all the Nevi'im of history saw at that moment, Priyat Yamsu. But that Anan of Shekhinah dissipated. Not because they did anything wrong, but it's impossible for a human being to remain at that level all the time. So that's the Anan that left after Priyat Yamsu. And that's the sense of Shekhinah that would return, but would be inside the Mishkan. And have this sort of localized sense of the Shekhinah that one could come to, but it wasn't there all the time. And that's the Anan, that's the Lamilamata.
There's something bothering me about taking it to such a conceptual level, not a physical thing, an Anan, because it's so descriptive of an Anan that's going before them. It feels like a physical thing.
Right, and I would say that the pillar of cloud before them, I think, was very physical thing. But we're saying, especially again, with the way the Gra is saying, is that there's another level of it, that there's this, the Anan of the Shekhinah. I think there are times when it was visible, but it represented that sense of, okay, Kavod Hashem. And I don't know that if you were there, you would have seen something. You'd have known it was there. That's something different from the pillar that's in front of them. And that's kind of where we're going with this. Because there's this other Anan. You know, certainly when they're surrounded by the Ananim, they say they couldn't see outside. They couldn't see a little bit there. Okay, that was that the you know, surrounded on four sides and on top and protecting them. Which I'm going to call the Anana of Hashkacha Pratit, the sense of God's protection. I was trying to say that wasn't something they could see. It wasn't like they were singing in darkness in the middle of a cloud the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all the pictures of Bnei Israel wandering in the wilderness. Nobody visualizes that part of it. Right? There's a big pillar of cloud in front of them and the whole camp following along. So when we're saying they were surrounded on four sides and on top, what does that mean? I would definitely read that as conceptual.
Okay.
Okay? That's the idea that you're being protected. And that, Revolution says, is that they kept until the Chet HaEgel. And Hashem said, that's it. I'm not here. You guys are on your own. I'm not protecting you anymore. And after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe davens that the people not be destroyed. And Hashem says, fine, I won't kill them all, but I'm not going to deal with them. I'm taking away, you know, you guys are on your own. That is what the original deal with that Moshe was after Chet HaEgel. But Moshe, Lech Alem Yizeh, Hashem tells Moshe, you people need to leave. You're on Har Sinai, go to Eretz Yisrael. Atava Amasher Leitam Eretz Yisrael, you and all these people you took out of Egypt, right? So all you, these are your kids. El Eretz Asher Nishbati L'Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, you'll take them into the land that I promised to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Limar Lo Zarecha Tanenah, and I said I'll give them to your children. Shalachti Lefenecha Malach, and I will send an angel before you. And this angel will go in front of you and will cast at all the enemies. There is the Vatchal of Devash to this land, flowing melt of honey. He lo el abakirbacha. It won't be me. You will no longer have the sense of the Shekhinah. It won't be me. You'll have a malach there. Okay? Ki amkshe aref ata penachacha baderach. Because you're a stiff neck, then I would wipe you out. So you guys are going to Eretz Israel, but there's no more Shekhinah. So that's the loss of the second set of, they lose the anana of sort of the numinous of the holy. They lose the anana of Hashkacha Pratit, and they left with the last anan, which is the malach, the pillar that goes in front of them to guide them in, right? And that's what it's called. Beisam malach elokim alech lifnei machne Yisrael, that the malach, the messenger of God, that went in front of Bnei Yisrael, Vayelech Mechahem, went behind them. This is back at Kriya Amsuf. Vayesa Amud Anan Bnehem, Vayamud Mechahem. This pillar of fire went from before them, behind them. Pillar of cloud, rather. Okay? That's kind of the, almost the lowest set, Anan. That's never leaves. That's what Nehemiah means, that Amud Anan Lo Sarma Aleihem. Hashem is always there guiding us, even if it's far away. We're not in it. It's not surrounding us. It's way in front of us, but it's still always there. So that sense of Hashem's presence, even though now we don't necessarily see a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud, that's still there. What does that mean for Sukkot? Sukkot is again represents the time when they started building the Mishkan. The Shekhinah comes back into the Mishkan. That Anan Milamata, the fact that we are not so much surrounded by God's presence, but we're actually in it. That's what Sukkot is supposed to represent. The space inside the sukkah is the ananda that was Echa Lamata. The ananda that was Shechina Shurbi Ba'oel. And that's what we're supposed to be feeling in the inside the sukkah here. That we're actually, as it were, in the Mishkan, in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We are sitting there as part of the Shechina. And that's what Lamanya Dudor Techem, Kiba Sukkoto Shabti Be Israel, that I gave them the sukkah as I took them out of Egypt and went with them for 40 years. That's still with us today. So something said about the nature of sort of the space, the empty space of the sukkah is the highest level of the nun, of the awareness of Hashem.
Of one of them, of one of the...
Of one, right. But specifically the one that you're sitting
Tachtona.
In.
What's it called? Tachton?
Echad, no, Lamata. Echad Lamata. The space under the schach. Right. That's where you're sitting. It's not your floor, it's not the floor. It's you.
No. Mm-hmm.
Something, I don't know, almost had to put it as the idea that it's, you know, it's the space defined by the walls that is the holy part, not the walls, not even the schach. It's a space in there that is the Sukkot that Hashabti Bnei Israel, that I made Bnei Israel settle in. Lots of ways of looking at it.
Nice. I have I hate to bring us down to a nitty gritty question I have, because we're up there in the clouds. So the directions, right? It's it's north, south, east, west. And then they add another one, the direction you're going. But
so
the direction you're going is one of those. So there's no fifth one.
Right, so there are two different texts. There's the Sifrei, which is Rashi's quoting, which is Arba Ruchot, which is going to be north, south, east, west, and the Yalkut, Yalkut Shimoni, which puts
but
it
wait,
as...
But then he counts, wait, ve'echad l'mala, echad l'mata, ve'echad l'fneihem. But
yeah,
isn't
in front
that
of them.
One
seven.
Of the directions?
No. L'fneihem is the pillar, is the anan that goes in front of them. So it's six
but I mean,
surrounding them in the cube, plus the pillar in front.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Right. It's
And then
the pillar in front.
right.
Right. So they're in a sukkah, a box.
Right. Okay.
And in front of them is the pillar of cloud and fire that's guiding them and killing all
okay.
the scorpions.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where you get the seven.
Yeah. It's crazy that I never associated putting the sukkah up after Yom Kippur with the timing of that's when they started the Mishkan,
yes.
After Yom Kippur.
Right. Right. That's the Vilna Gaon's Kiddush on that. And it's brilliant.
But it's so obvious, like, why is it now in Tishrei? I mean,
That's why they call him the Gaon, right? Because when you have a question and that's obvious after he says it, but you never would have
yeah.
thought it beforehand.
Yeah,
that's what genius is.
Yeah.
So that's a famous answer. Okay, I will stop
thank
here.
You very much, Claire.
Yeah.